Good afternoon. Welcome once again to Red State Revolt. I'm your host, Mark Falk. At 4:15, we will have our guest on, Chris Powell, who is a libertarian running for governor of Oklahoma. And I know people, how do I put this? People dismiss the credibility of the Libertarian Party, but the truth is, Oklahoma was one of the highest vote-getting states for Gary Johnson in the general election or the presidential election this past year. And Oklahoma right now is registering more independents than any other, really any other group. So it's beginning to look like we may reach a point where we have more independents than Democrats or Republicans. And I think that signals a disenchantment with the current two-party system in Oklahoma, as the Republicans are clearly the dominant party, but also clearly failing miserably in their duty to Oklahoma as a state. So I think that at this point, it would be unwise to dismiss any possible scenario for our upcoming governor's election in Oklahoma. You know, and as an example, I would cite Donald Trump. Not many people gave him a chance, and people thought, there were people who thought Bernie was going to sweep in and make it. But in a system where so much is at stake, so much money is at play, and there's so much potential for anything to happen in the presidential election, of course, within our primary and also within the general election, there's been a lot of talk of fraud or at least improprieties. And a lot of that appears to be true, frankly. So in the Oklahoma governor's race, now that Scott Inman is out in the Democratic Party primary, I think that we have an open race. We have all kind of open season in Oklahoma for once. There was an article in CNN this past week about and it named nine primaries to watch across America. And I will be honest, I've been telling Connie Johnson and the people who are with her campaign from day one that, and I think, you know, this is not like I'm a genius for figuring this out. I think they know this as well. They've always known it, that Connie, if you look at her track record, she gets more respect in many ways on a national level and outside of Oklahoma than she does in Oklahoma. In Oklahoma, she is treated, she is purposely marginalized in the same way that I'm talking about us marginalizing the Libertarian Party and trying to dismiss them. I believe that Connie is also marginalized as a Democrat within the status quo many, many times. But not on a national level. So a very interesting thing happened. An article came out. I'm going to pull up that article and read the part about Oklahoma, which is, again, quite interesting. By the way, congratulations to everyone for surviving Halloween, for making it this far this year. Those of you who are still with us, those of you who have passed, many people who will be missed have passed away. One of them, Dennis Banks, who was the original founder of the American Indian Movement, of AIM, passed away, and several people that I know well and other activists have been talking about him. I did not ever meet Dennis Banks. I did not know him. I remember, I mean, he's so legendary on a national level that I remember him as a kid, as kind of a almost mythical voice for the oppressed and a champion of Native rights in America. And he was involved in several of what we would describe societally as the more militant movements. But the truth is, you know, very few things are accomplished without some degree of militancy. And that may sound ominous, but I believe it's the truth. So I'm going to find this article. So he passed recently, and I just wanted to give a shout out to a great voice for the indigenous people of America. Let me find. Here we go. The title of this actual article is Democratic Primaries to Watch in 2018, and it's from CNN. And the section about Oklahoma, there's nine of them. The section about Oklahoma, the title of it is Oklahoma Governor, It's Not Impossible, with an exclamation point. And I think that's kind of cool just for the state, whether you're a Drew Edmondson supporter, whether you were a Scott Inman supporter trying to find out where you now move, you know, because we're now down to two candidates, or whether you're a Connie Johnson supporter, even though this article gave a pretty good shout out to Connie, it also talked about Drew quite a bit. So regardless of who you support in this headline as a Democrat, Oklahoma governor from CNN, from a national publication, Oklahoma governor, it's not impossible. yeah, sure, that isn't saying we're going to sweep this. This is going to be another Brad Henry moment where we just sweep in and take over as a Democratic Party in the governor's race. But there are many people who have said it is impossible for a Democrat to win in Oklahoma. The Democrat won't win, that it's going to be Todd Lamb or it's going to be Mick Cornett. But I would disagree with that. I think we have a shot. I think whichever one of our Democratic candidates, they have a shot. I think that Chris Powell, honestly, I haven't followed the Libertarian Party enough to know if other people are running against him, but I believe that Chris will make a very good showing in Oklahoma. And I don't know, does that take away more votes from the Republican or the Democrat? Traditionally, Libertarians take votes away from Republicans, so we'll see how that plays out. So I'm going to read this real quickly from CNN. And let me throw this out there for tonight. There is a debate, Connie Johnson and Drew Edmondson. This is the first debate when we're just down to two candidates. I think it will be interesting to watch the two of them try to separate, create separation. Up till now, we've been used to Connie firmly on the left, Edmondson comfortably in the moderate position, and Inman running far to the right, especially on women's issues and guns rights and those type of things. But now we're down to a moderate candidate and a progressive candidate. And that's going to be interesting because they now have to define their race in terms of what they represent and to separate themselves from each other. I'm going to read this real quickly. The debate, by the way, 6 to 8 tonight, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Will Rogers Theater. That is Northwest 45th and Northwestern. It is sponsored by the Oklahoma Progressive Network. This will also be one of your last chances to sign the initiative petition for Save OKC Schools. I will be there with that. Ed Shadid will be there. We will have the petition with us. Come sign it. We are approaching our deadline. If you have petitions, turn them in. If you have petitions, message me, message Ed, get them to us. We want to try to get them all in by Monday at the latest. So anybody listening, anyone who has petitions, even if you have 100 signatures or only if you only have 10, every signature counts. So we're making a final push on that. We're trying to raise $200 million over 4 years, all of the money earmarked for teachers and support staff in schools within the Oklahoma City limits. So get those petitions in. Tonight, 6 to 8, Will Rogers Theater, Democratic debate between just two candidates, Connie Johnson and Drew Edmondson. I think this changes the tone of the race. I think this makes it very interesting. It is sponsored, as I said, by the Oklahoma Progressive Network, so thank them for doing that. We appreciate it. So I'm going to read this real quickly, then we'll probably go to break, and we'll come back with Chris Powell, the Libertarian candidate for governor in Oklahoma in 2018. And you'll see if you can a lot of my viewers I know are I would say lean more to the left, as do I. But I'm going to tell you, I have common ground with a lot of libertarians, and then I have a couple of issues where I'm probably solidly in the opposing camp from them. But I think because of the personal freedom thing on social issues, they're often very good. So I'm going to read this real quickly, and then we'll come back with Chris Powell. This is CNN. Look up Democratic primaries to watch. And there's nine of them. This is the Oklahoma one. Oklahoma governor is not possible. Yes, there are Democrats in deep red Oklahoma, and with Republican Governor Mary Fallon, a term-limited lame duck, they won't have an incumbent to take on in 2018. History suggests that it's not a lost cause either, as Fallon's predecessor, the Democratic Governor Brad Henry, also served two terms. What was a three-way race featuring former state attorney General Drew Edmondson, State Rep Scott Inman, and Connie Johnson, a former state senator and DSA member, by far the most liberal of the group, was cut down to two on Wednesday when Inman dropped abruptly out and announced plans to resign his current post next year. Edmondson belongs to one of the best-known and most powerful families in Oklahoma politics. His father was a U.S. congressman, his uncle a governor and U.S. senator, and brother James is now on the state Supreme Court. So this is a person who is very connected politically. This is a political Oklahoma family. But this is from the article. Progressives will be interested to see how Johnson fares, especially after Inman's departure. An unabashed progressive, she spent nearly a decade in the state Senate and in 2014 became the first woman, an African American, to win her party's nomination for the U.S. Senate out of Oklahoma. So I like this. I like that the national stage is being set from us. I would encourage Connie and Edmondson to take to the national media and to get us a play, give us a chance to win as Democrats in Oklahoma. So we will be right back with Chris Powell, Libertarian candidate for governor in Oklahoma in 2018, on Red State Revolt.
Welcome to Geraldine Tegelov Live, the show that shares with you the secrets of redefining, reinventing, and rebuilding your life. Having pulled herself from the rubble of financial ruin and having gone on to create a highly successful career, Geraldine has become an expert in the art of transformation. She believes that it doesn't matter where you are right now, how overwhelmed you feel, or how impossible the task of turning your life around may seem. You can do it. Stay tuned as metaphysician, international best-selling author, and intuitive Geraldine Tegelov gives you the inner understanding and the outer practical how-to create your amazing life. Gain a fresh perspective on how to redefine, reinvent, and rebuild your life. Join Geraldine Tegelov live every Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the TogiNet Radio Network.
Well, skunks are making the news again. Seems everyone has a skunk story. A friend of mine was dozing on the couch on her patio when she felt something furry brush up against her hand. She thought it was her cat until she smelled a terrible odor. "I was petting a skunk," she told me. What's a word for shocked? Timey-wimey. In Colorado, a wildlife officer was called to help a skunk whose head was stuck in a peanut butter jar. After tugging for 10 minutes, they finally freed the critter and it ran away without spraying anyone. Guess that was a fair trade, otherwise known as quitter for quarter. In Minnesota, it's illegal to tease a skunk. What's a word for teasing a skunk? Tan-tan tanning, wart wardling, and downright foolish.
It's marching neighborhood.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Words.
And we are back on Red State Revolt. Apparently, we have not been able to get a hold of Chris Powell yet, so we will keep trying with him, and I'll keep filling some time here on Red State Revolt. And I'll be honest with you, there are plenty of things to talk about this week. Lord, where to start? So I don't know that it does me any good as an Oklahoma-based, highly progressive, possibly somewhat would say radical activists in Oklahoma. I don't know that it does me any good to belabor the point of Donald Trump's, a couple of his associates, a couple of people getting actually indicted, his former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, actually indicted. I think that that's, I think that's almost unprecedented. I'm old enough to remember Nixon. And watching that go down was an incredible, and we knew it was historical at the time. It was a train wreck, one thing after another, after another, after another. And you watched it like dominoes falling. And you watched as each domino fell, just like stacking dominoes, that domino would then testify or leak or make a deal or whatever, and that would bring down the next domino. It would be John Dean, and it would be Mitchell, it would be Ehrlichman. It was person after person after person in the Nixon administration. And then all of a sudden, Richard Nixon resigns. So I'm being told by our producer that it's going straight to voicemail on Chris. What the fuck? I would like to say that, but I understand the candidates are running in circles these days, and if we don't get him on this show, we'll have him on another time. But I'm going to continue to talk about this. So Trump is now like at 33% approval rating, 33% in the Gallup poll. That's insanely low. And there's a former person from the Trump organization, Sam Nunberg, and Nunberg was fired about a year ago because he was a campaign aide. He supposedly breached a confidentiality agreement, and he sued for damages. Well, he's now coming out and saying, literally, he says Trump is at 33% in Gallup. You can't go any lower. He's fucked. I mean, when the news just comes out and says he's fucked, I don't know. I feel like that Trump could get away with anything, and he has, and that he will not go down quietly. And while Nixon finally resigned in the face of what seemed to be certain impeachment, it would take at least that for Trump to go down as well. I think one of the differences is that the Congress is not likely, not in a position where I think that they want to impeach Donald Trump. But I'm telling you, stranger things have happened. So there's some hope there, except then we get Pence. So is that better or is that worse? When you get a out of control megalomaniac who is a narcissist and a sociopath and could do anything on any given day in Donald Trump, and then you trade him for Pence, who is a bought and sold, owned corporatist, far right, with a very methodical manner and agenda. And I can't tell you which is worse. I think they're both horrible. So I don't think Trump will see 4 years. This is the first time I've thought that is this week. I don't think Trump will see 4 years. I believe that he will either be indicted, impeached, or resign before his term is out. In the meantime, though, in Oklahoma, we are still starving the state to death in a calculated way. So much so that Leslie Osborne, who you know, a high-ranking Republican in the House has had to come out and disavow her own party for statements that they've made about health department officials being terrorists, which is insane as we've cut budget and cut budget and cut budget and cut budget. We had the head of the mental health services resign this past week. So we're in a shambles. We couldn't pass legislation to properly fund anything without major cuts. I don't know what to say. I feel like we're fighting amongst ourselves. I feel like that on the one side we have people who this is like 779 all over again, where 779 was, okay, we understand teachers need a pay raise. Teachers need a pay raise worse than almost anything in Oklahoma. Mental health is at the top of our list. We cannot gut mental health spending because it's another domino effect. It spirals out of control. When you take away mental health and you push people off of emotional and physical and mental cliffs and financial cliffs, desperation sets in and homelessness increases and people going to jail increase. And we all know what happens when you go to the Oklahoma County Jail. You get sick and the nurse tries to perform an exorcism on you. I mean, oh, shit. I'm just sitting here with my head in my hands. I'm not live streaming today because it's just me, and I don't figure anybody wants to just look at me. But, dear Lord, we live in a state where we don't fund mental health, and nurses at the county jail perform exorcisms on inmates who are incarcerated at the county jail who then die from the neglect because clearly the exorcism didn't work. I just want anybody who's listening right now, just stop. Stop and take a breath. We're going to need this collectively. Here we go. All of us together. Just all of us together. Back away. Back up a step or two. Back away from exorcisms in the county jail. Back away from right-wing crazy lunatics who are trying to dismantle everything. Back away from Harold Hamm, who is worth anywhere from 10 to 14 billion, depending on the price of oil that day. And it doesn't matter because he has more money than he could take money every day and throw it out the window of his mansions and out the window of the Continental Resources Tower downtown and never run out of money. He could fund every teacher in Oklahoma for a $5,000 a year raise. So think about this. Think about this. The guy, Harold Hamm, who is trying to screw us and tell us that the state cannot afford, the oil industry cannot afford to pay the same GPT that other states pay, even lower, even if we raise it to 7% today. Hear me on this. Even if we raise it to 7% today, he's saying that we cannot afford this. The oil companies cannot afford this. Yet he has so much money that he can fund a $5,000 per teacher pay raise every single year for the next 50 years, and he will still be a billionaire. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. This is criminal. I called last week, and I'm going to repeat this every week because it's something that I came up with, and I think it's a really good idea. I think that the teachers of Oklahoma City, the teachers of Oklahoma, should begin to do teach-ins. I think we should go down to Continental Resources, down on 1st and Broadway, and we should set up tables out on the sidewalk. Try to keep it legal. We don't want to get in trouble for that, but we can do this. Believe it or not, Continental Resources is only two blocks away from Kerr Park, which was where we had Occupy and where they bulldozed the amphitheater, the 50-year-old amphitheater at the park made out of granite, so they could put in grass and not a single seat. So they built that park to be a patch of ground because they did not want anybody actually occupying that park. They don't want you to park yourself in that park. They want you to walk by, look at the patch of grass, and go on back to your job, your minimum wage job, and quit worrying about the fact that right up the street is Continental Resources. So maybe we do it in the park. Maybe we just set out blankets and we set out tables and we do a teach-in. And then we send people over to tell Harold Hamm, hey, can we borrow some pencils? Can we borrow some erasers? Can we borrow some printing paper? Because you're worth $14 billion and you don't want to pay your fair share of taxes. So this is what we have to do. We have no choice but to come begging to you. I cannot tell you how much this disgusts me. I cannot tell you how much this disgusts me. I want to continue on this topic when we get back, because we're killing public education. What we're trying to do, what Ed Shadid and I and several people have joined in with us, Paula Lewis, the chair of the Oklahoma City School Board, Nick Singer has been really helping out the last few weeks, David Glover has helped out. We've had a lot of people working. We've had people hustling, getting signatures, and we appreciate that. So I think we have to create new models to fund education. I think we have to create new models to fund mental health. I think we have to create new models to deal with the jail and the prison overcrowding, because they're not going to do it for us. I don't trust the legislature. They're not going to do shit. And if you think they are, you are delusional. This is Red State Revolt. We'll be right back.
Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions? Right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Infant care specialist Blythe Lipman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With Baby and Toddler Instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. For more information on Blythe and how she can help you, go to babyinstructions.com. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying to 14 ways to get a baby to eat and so much more. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com.
Study finds the happiest couples sleep the closest together, as in less than an inch apart. A survey of 1,000 couples found that 86% of those who kept such close perimeters reported they were satisfied with their relationship. Only 66% of couples who slept 30 inches apart or more reported being completely happy in their marriage. What's the word for getting up on the wrong side of the bed? Metutalipia. Another predictor of relationship happiness is touch. While 94% of couples who made physical contact throughout the night reported a happy relationship, just 68% of couples who kept their distance did the same. What's the word for the semi-conscious state between sleep and wakefulness? Hypnopompic.
It's Margin Neighbor.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
And we are back on Red State Revolt. We've been trying Chris Powell, but we have not been able to reach him. I'm assuming something happened that he wasn't able to come on. It's going straight to his voicemail. If we don't get him on today, we'll get him on another time. In the meantime, there is plenty to talk about in Oklahoma. Victor Gorn, one of my favorite people, I was going to say favorite progressives, but just one of my favorite people, messaged me and said, when a U.S. president resigns, they get to keep their pension. Removed from office, you lose it. So at the time, 1974, the pension was $60,000 a year. So when Richard Nixon resigned, he got to keep his $60,000 a year pension because he resigned and he wasn't impeached. I doubt that money will be the determining factor for Donald Trump because he has bigly amounts of money and he doesn't need that because he is a Brazilianaire. So he doesn't need money. So I want to go back to Oklahoma, though. I just want to go back to Oklahoma because here we are. And yes, I think we should revolt. I think that we need to revolt. I think that we have to revolt. We had another divide last week. We had Nadine Gallagher here, and we had Troy Stevenson here. And Troy was saying, hey, we should compromise and take what we can get on the GPT, anything. He actually, I think, thought that we should have taken the other deal. But I'll just say he was – this is a funny thing because I can say all of us were rightly – advocating for our own positions. He was rightly concerned that many, many people would be pushed off of a cliff and that we would have many people in crisis, maybe worse. And I don't disagree with that. And he was right to advocate for taking care of that. Nadine Gallagher at the time was saying, let it burn. Let's hold out for 7% because a temporary solution then leaves all these people who have already been driven off the cliff. It doesn't bring them back. So that's where we're at. And she was rightly advocating for that. And then whenever we finally did get to a vote that was going to do 4% GPT, but for 3 years, and then switched to 7% on new wells, she supported that. And so did Troy. And so did the legislator of the most progressive district in Oklahoma, HD 88, Jason Dunnington. I strongly disagreed with that. And I strongly disagreed with it because it only raises $15 million. With budget holes that have been a billion plus on some years, $15 million is chump change. It is an insult to the citizens of Oklahoma. It doesn't fix anything. It is the equivalent of you have a house full of hungry children and you say, just please, please, can you not buy that seventh or eighth yacht, Harold Hamm? Please, can you sprinkle a few hundred million of your billions of dollars back into the state that you've stolen? Make no mistake. Harold Hamm and Larry Nichols and the billionaire oil people in Oklahoma have stolen money from Oklahoma. They have stolen money from the mouths of children. They have stolen money from public education. They have stolen money from mental health services. They have stolen money from drug treatment programs. They have stolen money that should have been spent to reform our mass incarceration system. They have stolen money that could repair bridges that likely are going to collapse at some time. They have stolen money that could have brought in new businesses. So $15 million. I felt like that was an insult. And I felt like that if we said yes, and all of the other Democrats stood together, or I might not be accurate on that, but at least all of the Democrats in the urban areas stood together and voted against this. And Dunnington voted yes on it. And I said at the time that it was because Dunnington's brother is the CEO of, I think it's now called Antioch Resources. It was Harding Shelton Oil. And they spun off, or they created a subdivision of just the oil division, and it is run by Jason Dunnington's brother. And frankly, I think that it's an insult, and I think that it's like when I used to work with bands, and when I used to work with musicians, and I managed some of them, and I produced some of them, and we would go into the studio, and you were making a record album. They do the same thing in film. They say, give them something. Give them $20. Give them $100. Give them what you can give them. But if you don't actually legitimately don't have any money, which is not the case with Harold Hamm, obviously, but give them something, because the purpose of always giving them something so you can say, I already paid for that. And that is what I believe that the oil companies and the Senate and the House conspired to do. They conspired to say, yeah, you want to raise the GPT? Here you go. We'll raise it. And then next year, when we come back and say, we want to talk about the GPT, they're going to say, what the fuck are you talking about? You already accepted 4% for 12 months. Or for 36 months. So, what are you talking about? We're going to go on to something else. We're going to go on to taxing the poor again. And I find that to be not just problematic, but I find it to be an insult to the good people of Oklahoma. I believe, had they come up with 4% over 36 months, which would have raised $100 million, still not much in the grand scheme of things, and still far less than any other oil-producing state gains in revenue from the oil industry. Why in Oklahoma, where we have incredible oil finds, where we are the home of most of these oil companies, why are we starving stepchildren begging for money just to buy food for our kids? It's like I was saying earlier, you have 20 kids in there and you say, please, can we feed my children at least? And then they come in and they say, here's a teaspoon with a bite on it. There, you wanted food? You got food. Take it. That's what I feel like that $15 million was. It was a bite to a room full of starving people, which is almost just torturous. It is almost like cruel and inhuman punishment to wave a little bit of food in front of you, but then say, but I'm not going to give you enough to fully fund mental health. I'm not going to give you enough to fully fund public education. I'm not going to give you enough to fix the roads and bridges. I'm not going to give you enough to reopen and rebuild the hospitals in the rural areas. I'm not going to give you enough to open schools for 5 days, to hire teachers, to pay more to teachers so that my daughter and other teachers, if they so choose, can come back to Oklahoma and teach in the state where they were born, raised, and trained, where their families are from. I'm not going to give you enough as the oil industry to fix anything in this state. And I am telling you, if we do not show up at the doors of Continental Resources, knocking on that door and begging for erasers and begging for pencils and saying, can we have $5 because we ran out of printing paper yet again? Can I have a 20 spot, Harold? Can you loan me just enough money to buy my kids textbooks? Can you loan us enough money? and we'll pay you back just like you paid us back. I don't know what to say. I believe that we need to revolt. I believe that we need to revolt. Crap. Okay. Well, we gave, all right. I'm going to try to get Chris on for 15 minutes because we have the wrong number. I'm going to type the number in. Okay, so that's our bad. That is not on Chris Powell. Apparently, the wrong number was emailed to him. I'm going to message. We're about to call him up. Okay, so we'll get him on for the last segment, and then I think we'll go ahead and bring him on again at a later date, probably not next week, but I feel bad that we didn't give him enough time because apparently the wrong number was emailed to TogiNet, so also not their fault. But that stuff happens. We've all been on the run lately. There we go. We have Chris on. Hey, Chris Powell, how are you doing?
All right. How about yourself, sir?
I'm good. Apparently, we gave the wrong phone number to the producer, and they've been calling and leaving messages with some poor soul who is not you. So we're about to go to break in a minute, but I want to go ahead and get you on for the last segment. But because we're only going to do one 12-minute segment, can I get you back on in a couple of weeks when you get a break, and we'll do a full interview with you as well?
Absolutely. That sounds fine.
Okay, good. We're going to go to commercial. That'll take about 2 minutes, and then I'll have you on. So think in your head, how can you sell the Libertarian Party to Oklahoma in 12 minutes? And we'll try to do that. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think the time is prime right now for a third party. As you watch, and I'll leave you with this as we go to break, as you watch the number of people not contented with either party and the number of people registering independent and now libertarian, clearly we have problems in Oklahoma.
So, absolutely.
All right. We will be right back after the break with Chris Powell. Thanks for tuning in.
Information about book publishing is power. The power to change your authoring life. And the power to change the lives of your readers. So join us for Your Guide to Book Publishing, Everything You Want to Know But Didn't Know What to Ask, with your host, Dr. Judith Briles. Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, you'll hear about statistics, scenarios, and strategies on what to do now. As the book shepherd, Dr. Judith Briles is in. And each week, she will include publishing professionals that will reveal tips and secrets to the author's journey. If there is a book in you, you want to listen, learn, and yes, call in with your questions each week. For more on Judith and what she can do for you, check out her website, thebookshepherd.com. It's Your Guide to Book Publishing, Everything You Want to Know But Didn't Know What to Ask. Brought to you by AuthorU and The Book Shepherd, with your host, Dr. Judith Briles. Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
A dentist invented the first electric chair? Just thinking about going to the dentist makes me feel like I'm headed for death row. What's a word for the fear of a dentist? Odontophobia. Bruxomania is another word for the compulsive grinding of one's teeth. Early toothbrushes were twigs with frayed ends. Toothpaste in a tube was made available to the public in 1892 and was called Dr. Scheffel's Cream Dentifrice. Now Americans buy 14 million gallons of toothpaste every year. In Mexico, the tooth fairy is called the tooth mouse. Half of all Americans say that a smile is the first thing they notice about a person. It's easy to spot a person with a fake smile, otherwise known as an exodesiast.
It's Martin.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
And we are back on Red State Revolt. I'm your host, Mark Falk, and I have Chris Powell, the Libertarian candidate for governor of Oklahoma, on with me. And as I told Chris before the break, because we had a mix-up on his phone number, we're going to do this 12-minute segment, and then in 2 or 3 weeks or whenever he gets a break, we'll have him back on the show to do a full interview, because I believe – and I say this to you, Chris, almost as a question. I believe that this is one of the most important elections for governor in the history of Oklahoma. And I've been around for a minute. I'm born and raised here, you know, 61 years. Actually, no, I take it back. Born in Georgia, lived here for 61 years. What are your thoughts on this election? And why do you think this is a good time for a Libertarian candidate to kind of step into this? Honest, like this is a fucking mess, to put it bluntly, at the state capitol right now. Our state is in shambles. Why do you think that sets the stage for you, and what can you do that you believe the other candidates can't offer?
Well, the first thing is that this is the first time that we've had an opportunity to have a gubernatorial candidate on the ballot under the Libertarian label. And that has to do with some changes to the ballot access laws and Gary Johnson's vote total last year. So it's not like we chose not to run before. This is our first crack at it. It just happens to come at a really opportune time with the troubles at the state capitol that are really putting off a lot of people on the two establishment parties. And we also see that in large measure nationally, a lot of dissatisfaction with the two establishment parties. So those two things at once, and coinciding with our first appearance in a midterm election, it's a tremendous opportunity that we need to take advantage of to speak to the electorate. You know, we're not professional politicians. We're not part of the political elite. We're regular people who just happen to strongly believe in individual liberty and bringing forth that message in the political arena. And I think we can really resonate with a lot of voters in this upcoming election.
I'm going to throw out what I know about libertarianism, and I think what's interesting about the Libertarian Party is, like, I guess any political party, but the Democrats right now have a great divide. The progressive part of the party, I would call this the Bernie part of the party, is at odds with what was considered the Hillary part of the party, and I think that divide existed before the presidential election, but it was brought into focus by two very distinct camps. Now, on the Republican side, you had all these people run for president, and then all of a sudden, the most extreme person in the world, and everybody was like, how the fuck did we get Donald Trump? Well, I think we got Donald Trump because we have pushed further and further, and Donald Trump, I hate to say it, was the natural outcome of the direction we've been headed as a country. And now, all of a sudden, the Republican Party is divided into two. So you have some people going, oh, wait, we didn't mean Donald Trump, we just meant traditional Republican values or whatever. But within the Libertarian Party, I feel like sometimes I see the same thing. I talk to people like you. I'll use Craig Dawkins as another Oklahoma Libertarian who I have much respect for as well, as a matter of fact, and you as well. And I don't want to say that for Libertarians, you guys are more moderate, because I don't think that's the case. But I feel like that there are two divides. There's one divide of the Libertarian Party that just says, we all have individual rights, privatize everything, let corporations run it, let everybody do what they want, don't pay taxes. Yeah, that's sometimes the traditional viewpoint of how people view libertarians. But now I see what I would call measured libertarians who say, well, we do have to have vital services. We do believe that you need some rules to rein in corporations, et cetera, et cetera. We need some environmental legislation in order to keep greed out of the equation. So where do you think you fall on that spectrum?
Well, I think the classic question is, who's going to build the road? And the people who automatically want to jump to, well, this is how roads could exist without government, and go into the explanation of that. And that's all fine and good. I don't want to say that there's anything wrong with coming up with ways that we can do things without government. But the fact is, we are going to have government. Even if every election that we run a Libertarian candidate in next fall that we win, there's still going to be road building. There's still going to be road building for decades and generations.
Right. So, and by joining the elections, you're acknowledging the existence of government.
Well, if I didn't think that there was a point in it, in being an elected official, I certainly wouldn't seek the office. My viewpoint, and I think Craig is pretty similar on this, is that we need to advance the cause of liberty where we can. And we can get into government and we can say, this is a place where we can do some good. And here's another place, and here's another place. And we can move towards greater individual liberty in these little steps, which is the only way you get anything accomplished in politics, is little steps at a time. And I think that's what we want to do. Now, if you want to argue about the end game 100 years from now, I don't have a lot of interest in that. I'm not going to be here. I want to increase liberty in my lifetime, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, and see, that makes sense. I mean, the hypothetical debate of if all individuals would just do what they should do as good human beings, we wouldn't need rules, we wouldn't need laws, well, we already know that's not the case. Wall Street, Harold Hamm, Larry Nichols, there we go. That's, in my mind, that's all you need to know. They do not always do what's in the best interest of society as corporate overlords or whatever. Actually, Victor just typed something that I didn't know, and I find this very interesting, that the Libertarian Party, like the Democratic Party in Oklahoma has done recently, you've opened your primaries to independents in Oklahoma. So an independent, which is the fastest growing demographic in Oklahoma, by the way, politically, an independent can go to the voters booth and they can say, I want to vote either in the Democratic Party primary or the independent, or the Libertarian primary. So
actually,
I have two choices.
We've chosen, and I did not agree with this. I wanted to continue with the open primary, the primary open independence. But we have chosen, the state executive committee has chosen for the 2018 to close the primary to registered libertarians only.
Okay.
Again, I was not in favor of that. But that ship's sailed, and so we're going from there. Every primary we've had in the past that we've been able to open it to independents, we've done so, but we are changing that. I think it's unfortunate, but it's already decided.
Well, and then I guess that leaves you in the general election with that ability to pull in independent votes, which is an incredibly large faction, so you still have that. Do you have opponents in the Libertarian race for governor?
There are a couple of other people who are actively campaigning, and this is another difference in that the primaries that we've had in the past have been strategic, and we have recruited people to run technically against each other, but in a cooperative effort so that we could have a primary. This is actually going to be a contested primary. We're all three of us are actually trying to beat the other guy. So that is another new thing. And I think it's part of, part of the fact that we're on a midterm election. We've survived a ballot test with Gary Johnson, and now we're on a midterm election for the first time. And it's a very healthy sign of growth for the party that that's happening.
Yeah, it really is. And in fact, Johnson was one of the Oklahoma was one of the top five states for Gary Johnson in the presidential election. So Oklahoma is already showing, and frankly, I encouraged and got in a little trouble for it, Democrats to vote for Gary Johnson, because I want the libertarians on the ballot. I believe that it's healthy for our process, and we knew there was no way that Hillary would win in Oklahoma. She just wasn't going to. So in my mind, three parties is a good thing. Where do you stand on let's go with a couple of important issues since we're very short on time here. How do you feel that we should fund education and mental health? And also, what do we do on mass incarceration? We got a couple of minutes. We can touch on those three topics.
Well, as far as criminal justice reform and incarceration, we need to really look at who we utilize this valuable prison space on, and make sure that we're making the wisest choice with our resources. I think it really needs a thorough review of everybody that's behind bars to say, is this person really a danger to society, or is it just somebody that we're mad at? If they're not an actual danger to others, they shouldn't be there. It's both a waste of money, and the longer that someone is there who is not really a danger, the more likely they are to be a danger when they come out, because our prisons are the higher education system of the criminal world. So everybody that we can keep out of prison and not make a worse criminal and still keep the public safe, we need to do that.
At the same time, we're dividing families and leaving.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, there's the moral question, and you're absolutely right. But there's also the fiscal question, and like I said, the effect of further criminalizing individuals that, otherwise might be able to put their lives back together and be productive citizens.
Okay.
As far as education and funding goes, something that I'm not seeing, any real coherent message from even the Republicans who are voting against any tax increases anywhere, as far as looking at seriously prioritizing our spending. That's something that we simply have not done. We've got an economic incentive evaluation commission that looks at all the incentives that we have, and there's a minimum of $450 million annually that are in all kinds of different incentives, tax credits, subsidies, that they aren't even looking at.
Okay, well, we are completely out of time. I want to do Powell for...